Great is God. What a great day. This particular time right now, this moment where you're living right now, this is the day God made. Did you hear me? This is the day that God has made. You know, we think about creation in the beginning, in Genesis 1. And God said, and it was. And God made. But this is another day that God has made. I mean, think about it. Come on. See God. This is the day that God has made. You know, the science, if you will, all the laws around today showing up are so phenomenal. I picked up a word years ago from my dear friend Steve Blinn, and it's blow mind. It's blow mind. I mean, it just blows your mind to think everything that God created, all that He orchestrated, the law of His Word, the power of His Word. His Word has fragrance. You can smell the flowers. His Word has essence. Though He's an invisible God, there's such tangibility to His invisibility. And that's what God wants to do today. He wants to make His invisibility visible. What you can't touch, He wants you to be able to wrap your arms around it. And He represented that when He came. He made Himself present. And the Word says, and God became flesh. So, be encouraged today knowing, number one, you're here. You're living, you're breathing, you woke up today. This is the day God has made, and He's given it to you. He's given you this day. Just like He did with Adam and Eve. He said, I'm giving you this day. I'm giving you today. And then God says, to get the full impact, to really enjoy the fullness of right now, He said, don't take any thought for tomorrow or next week or next year. He said, take this day and say, this is the day the Lord has made, and then I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. I take this day that the Lord has made. So if you think about creation, stepping back in time and watching God create the day, how many woke up this morning to a new day? This is Sunday the 6th, right? Somewhere around there. You woke up to a day that God created and made. God created this day. He made this day. There isn't anything from the past that is not present in the here and now. Think about that. You can take your seats this morning. Let's just go there. There isn't anything from the past that isn't present right here. There isn't anything in the past from the beginning of time that isn't present with us. I wonder how much Adam and Eve were aware of what they had and what God gave them. And how do we know? How do we know? How can we become aware of what God has given to us? Have you ever had something? It could be a friend, a family member, someone that moved away, passed away, something that you really enjoy. And when it went away, you really enjoyed it even more. How many know what I'm talking about? Because you just start to appreciate, you start to look at it. My daughter has a little purse. It's not like a real expensive purse or anything. It's just a cute little purse that she really likes. And she went into the store the other day, into the mall, and she said, I want another one just like this one, but I want it in a different color. And so she went up, and she said, I want this purse in a different color. And they said, oh, it's discontinued. They're not making that anymore. It was very popular, but now it's gone. You know what she said to me? And she does all, she said to me, she said, I wished I had taken better care of this one. Well, the one she has looks immaculate. But the idea of thinking that I can't get it again. You can't get today again. You can't get this moment again. You can't get this time again. The power to take dominion in the earth is the power to seize, I know you've heard this, but you really need to think about it, to seize the moment that is at hand. We were going somewhere the other day, and my sweet mother-in-law said to my wife something she had never said before. She said, how did she say it? She said, enjoy the moment. Just enjoy the moment. And that just hit my wife and I so powerfully, it made us look. It's kind of like driving in your mind. Have you ever been just driving and you get someplace that you intended to go, but you don't know how you got there? It's like, where is your mind? I do that all the time, Steve. I don't know. If it wasn't for my wife, I wouldn't get there half the time. But you drive and you drive, and then you just arrive and you go, how in the world, how I was not cognizant of anything going on. How did I get here and not hurt myself or someone else? Or drive off into the, of course, I can drive off anywhere if I'm, my mind is always someplace else. That's one of the reasons I think God gave my wife with such a keen sense of where she is. But to really apprehend what you have is the power to take dominion and to appreciate it. So we'll break over into James chapter 1, verse 2, when James says, count it all joy when you fall into, find yourself in, maybe stumble into the trying of your faith. And we can tend to think those times to be difficult, but you have the power to shape those times. As a matter of fact, we have the power to bring those times on when they don't catch us off guard. And that's what James is conveying. Count it all joy when you find yourself in various different things, times, circumstances, seasons, when your faith is required in order to see correctly and enjoy this day. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it joy. Count it all joy. Haro. Count it all joy. Again. Count it all joy. That word literally, that Greek word literally means delight. So James is talking about something more than a lesson. You're going to make it through. Just hang in there. It's going to be all right. I don't know how, but somehow. James is seeing something different. And he says, count it all joy because something beyond where you have been is trying to get into your life. Something that is before you that you just can't see. And it's so good for you, is just before you. And I need you to see it. See, think about this. God's invisible attributes, the word calls them, and they're endless. His mind, his thoughts, his attitude, his actions, all that God does, all that he creates, his mind, his interests are endless. God's thoughts towards you, the word says, towards you, are so many. And they're so good that you couldn't even comprehend them in any length of time. But they're continually unfolding before you. All the ideas of God, the best and most simple way to consider the kingdom of God, to think about what does the kingdom of God look like, is the mind of God. What would the kingdom of God look like in the earth if the kingdom of God was running rampant in the earth, which it is, but you don't see it. What would it look like? It looked like the endless ideas and thoughts of God. And God said, so God thought, let us make creation in our image and in our likeness. And let them have dominion. Remember that scripture? Let's create mankind in our image and our likeness. God's thoughts are so deep. They're so beyond. The word says his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. So what is within each individual? What is in us? The word says, let the mind of Christ be in you. What was that? Well, that he surrendered to the will of the Father. No, but I mean really surrendered. We're going to go somewhere today. It's going to be fun. So let's take these scriptures. Number one, this is a day that God has made. Let's put them together. So think about it. This is the day God made. It didn't just show up. We just think tomorrow's going to show up. What if it didn't? What if the sun moved just a tiny bit closer and we didn't wake up? And all there was a pile of cinders. Isn't that exciting? It's a great thought. Or it moved away just a little bit. It wouldn't have to be much, just a little bit. And you wake up with icicles. You're an ice cube. Anything. So many things. But God, in His incredible love, in His endless realities, created you to experience the kingdom of God, His mind, His thoughts. Any kingdom, any nation, any leader of a nation, any king of a nation or a country has made that providence take on his laws, his attitude, his mind. It's ruled. That's why he's called the king. It takes on his personality. That's the whole point. And if you break outside of that, it's called breaking the law. Well, God's given us the kingdom. He said, the kingdom of God presides, not just resides, but it presides on the inside of you. So this is the day God has made. I'm going to rejoice. Let's pop over to James 1:2. Count it all joy or rejoice. The Greek word is literally delight. Delight. Count it all joy, delight. When the trying of your faith takes place, knowing something incredible is about to take place. And the word says that you may be complete. That's the Greek word, perfect. And entire, meaning all of it, lacking nothing. So everything is within Christ, and Christ is within you. Everything is within the kingdom, and the kingdom of God is within you. Okay? This is the day God has made. In this day that God made, just like in Genesis 1, this is a day God made. Today, God formed this day. Today, God created this day. God is as present with you today as He was Adam and Eve when He created the world. Every bit is present, like aware, cognizant, knowing, seeing, hearing, understanding. But God said, I don't want to just create man. I want creation. I want them to have dominion. I want them to take authority. I want them to subdue. I want them to bring the earth into its intended intentions. Every day in your life, that's what God wants you to do. Every single day of your life, it is God's will that you bring the earth into His intentions. And if you receive the Holy Spirit, and how do you get that? You ask, Father, fill me with your Spirit. Give me wisdom. The word says, if you ask, He'll give to you. He'll give liberally to you. He won't hold back anything. His word is sure. His word is yes. His word is amen. So God says then to Adam and Eve, He said, I want you to take dominion over all the earth. You can eat everything. You can drink all the water. You can, and you, no shame. There's no labor on you. There's no weight on you. I want to show you how to rule in the earth in a way that we today fall far, far short of. Fall far short. In a way that we can comprehend God. And God said, I want my word to dwell in you because God's word is life. Jesus is called the word of God. So if His word dwells in you, that word literally means remains, doesn't change, doesn't go away, it stays. If my word remains in you, Jesus said like this, He said, until now, you haven't asked the Father anything in my name. Think about living in a day like that. I mean, how many pray? Anyone pray in the house? And how do you typically either enter or exit your prayer? In Jesus' name. Not just, I'm throwing this name out there as an amen to my prayer, but in Jesus' name, we've talked about this a few times, is literally I'm coming as a messenger of the King with all the royal fanfare, all the royal authority, all the royal yes and amen. It's all on me because the King sent me. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. So in the name of Jesus isn't the close. It isn't the amen or the salah of a prayer. It is the I come in the identity. In other words, Christ and I are coming together before the Father. God can't deny you. Jesus said, until now, he said, you've asked the Father nothing in my name. But he said, ask, and it will be done. And your joy, there's that word again, that your joy may be full. Chra, that your chra may be full. And you will delight in the Lord. You will delight. Haro, you will rejoice. I will rejoice in delighting in the trying of my faith. You don't think about it like that, do you? I will rejoice and delight in the trying of my faith because of haris, because of the grace of God. I get to do all these things. And it turns the world that you're living into a place of taking dominion over. I can take dominion over this moment of time in such a way your enemies are going to have to agree with you. When you stand right and just before God, in the presence of God, your enemies have to agree with you. They have to agree with you. And I want to tell you why. Wherever you go, whatever you hear that hits you in such a way that you fall dependent on God through your faith, whatever it is, consider this is God's assignment to me. This is God's assignment to me, saying there's so much more. Not that you're under attack. Not that the devil or an enemy. I'm going to show you something in just a minute. The devil is really not your enemy. He's your enemy in a sense that he doesn't care for you. But he's not an enemy in the sense that he can touch any born-again believer. He can't interfere with your life. And most of the time when you think that you're being interfered with by the devil, if you're born of God, filled with His Spirit, interruption, which revives your faith, is actually what's taking place. James called it the trying of your faith, something that came to interrupt your world. Something that came, and without disruption, again, we talked about this last Sunday, interruption does something that makes a sound come out of you. And we all have interruptions in our lives. There isn't anyone. Christ had interruptions in his life. And he knew that was coming. And he warned the disciples. He said, interruption is coming into my life. There is a time coming. He said, I came to do the will of the Father, not my own. You know the definition of unhappiness? The definition of unhappiness is doing your will. There it is. The definition of unhappiness is doing your will. The definition of joy is being tried when your faith is interrupted, when your life is interrupted. Because God is saying there may be individuals, there's authorities, there's powers, there's something that the interruption of your faith has to come in and take dominion over. God did it with Adam and Eve with one single tree. He said the entire garden belongs to you. And I've given you dominion over it all. Again, that incredible day, that first day, God created everything and it was complete. That one day, God created. Same day happened today. Same thing happened today. But our perspective changes. And we see things differently outside of the vacancy of what God wants to fill. The vacancy. Something interrupted your life. Why? I mean, I didn't see that coming. Something caught me off guard. James says, I want to show you something. I want to show you how to interrupt your life intentionally. I want to show you where your joy is. I want to show you where your mirth is, where being merry is. I want you to see, I want to show you where the rejoicing is. I want to show you what grace is leading you to. Grace isn't God just saying, you know, you messed up and I'm just going to forget it. Grace is literally God saying, I'm anticipating your arrival. I'm anticipating your approach. Scriptures say it like this. It says, Paul says, I urge you, I'm pleading with you, if you will, I beg you, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, that you do this thing. You present yourself, your bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Here's the real way. I'm going to approach the Father. See, it's the approach that tells the story. When Jesus said, you've not asked anything of the Father in my name. You didn't have that. You never had a consciousness where you could go before the Father anticipating going into His presence, knowing that your arrival would please the Father. So we're coming in the name of Jesus. Christ and I are coming together. Whatever I ask, whatever I request is not on my own. It's because Christ led me before the presence of the Lord. So Paul says, I beseech you, O King James, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, sisters too, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. It's the approach that means everything. It's the presentation, your presentation. What if you said, thank God. I know this takes us out of the mindset because we just like the soft place. But what if you said, thank God this interruption just came into my life. Thank God for the disturbance of my faith. I've had to do that many times throughout the years. Thank God for the interruption. Your body can feel like, man, I'm just tired. I think I feel like going somewhere for a year on a sabbatical and just not, I don't want to hear from anyone. I don't want to see anyone. I don't want anyone to ask me God's word. I don't know. I just want to be quiet. What I know, I'm not sharing. I just want everybody, I want a reverse rapture. I want to go someplace where no one and nothing is. Just want to go there and just be there quiet for a while. Be still. But faith says, remember the power of your call. The word says God has chosen you. As a matter of fact, the scriptures say, you have not chosen me. God said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And that's really, really powerful. And there's a reason that it's powerful. You know the power behind faith? Choice. The devil you think that is after you lacks something essential. The unclean spirit you think is after you lacks something essential. He can't make a choice. He can't exercise his will. I know you think, you've thought he can, they can, but they can't. They were stripped of their ability to exercise their will. They have no power of choice. Jesus said, now regarding you, they are submissive to you. They can't do what they want. They are submissive to the choice of your faith towards the Word of God. See, without choice, faith is powerless. But Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. But the great gift God gave Adam and Eve and gave you and I today is the power to choose. Choose this day, Moses said at one time. Choose today. Choose who you will serve. You can't be possessed. A born-again believer cannot be possessed by an unclean spirit. God lives there and he's not going to dwell with the devil. It's just not going to happen. It's just that simple. And you say, well, people can be possessed. Jesus, yes, they can. But they require your choice and your will. Jesus said, when a spirit comes out of someone, they go into the dry places and they're looking for one thing and one thing alone. They're looking for rest. The ability to exercise a choice. Think about not being able to decide where you're going to sit, where you're going to stand, where you're going to be, what you're going to do. You can't exercise anything that you want to do. Not anything. Every spirit is void of the power of choice. If they had the power of choice, they could get saved. Because the Word says anyone that declares that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, will be saved. But they don't say that because they're making a choice. They say it because they have to. Why doesn't God just make me do what He wants me to do? Oh, you unknowing individual. That would strip you of your relationship with the Father. It is the power to choose to do the will of God when you don't see what you want to see take place. It's the power of relationship with the Father. Otherwise, it's a business transaction and there is no relationship in God. You can do a lot of investments and transactions online. You never have to meet the person, know who they are, just know what the business is about. That's kind of like demons. They know what's going on, but they have no power to exercise choice, so evil, unclean, can't interfere with you. Well, if that is in the world, in someone, you have the authority to change those dynamics because it's the same thing. Spirit said, we know who you are. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And then they say something like, why have you come to torture us before our time? I know I don't talk about this much, but I'm talking about it today. An evil spirit requires one thing that it does not have: choice and will. It doesn't have the power to exercise choice and will, but you do. And that's what it wants. It wants your choice. It wants your will. And the only way that can happen is when you refuse to surrender your will to God. When you think an idea that is outside of the will of God is your own, you're being influenced by something that is not who you are or who God's called you to be. And that's why the Word teaches us to discern wisely, to know the truth, to become engaged, to be a cooperator with the truth, and the truth will set you free. The devil can't choose to attack you. He doesn't have the power to exercise choice. He lost that authority when he fell. When they all fell, they lost the power to make a choice. They have to do what they're told. Jesus said, Satan, enter Judah, and he had to do it. Jesus said, legion of demons, go in the pig, and they had to do it. The disciples one day came and said, we are so excited that even demons are subject to us in your identity. And Jesus said, they are, but don't rejoice because of that. Rather rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They don't have the power to exercise their will against you. They don't have it. They lack the power to exercise choice. You don't. The great gift that God has given man, that He gave man from the beginning of time, was the ability to choose to believe God, to choose to obey God. Faith is powerless unless you choose to exercise it. Look at the cooperation between the Father and His creation, you and I. He said, I have chosen you. However, unless you choose me back, you are none of mine. Now God, if He tells an unclean spirit to do, there's no except or you have to. It has to do. It has to do what you say. The world and the evil inclined to the world has to do what the righteous say. God proved that over and over. He proved it with Daniel. He proved it with Shadrach. He proved it with Abednego. Regardless of what is coming, it appears as coming after you. It's not coming after you. It's there for you. Someone's trying to destroy. Someone's speaking ill. Someone hates you. It is not. James says, listen, if it's calling on your faith, it isn't after you, it's for you. You have the power to make a choice and tell it what it's going to do for you. This is what's going to happen. Jesus said, I'm here to suffer many things, but this is what it's going to do for you. I've come to suffer. I've come to lay down my life. Peter says, far be it from you, Lord. And Jesus calls him the devil. You're making the wrong choice. You're saying the wrong thing. You're rebuking the will of the Father. Church people do it all the time. Trying time comes, and the first thing you do is you start rebuking things. What you should start doing is worshiping God. worship you. See, there was a time you couldn't come before the Lord and worship Him unless you brought a sacrifice. Think about it. We get to come in the house of the Lord. We get to raise our hands. We get to rejoice. We get to worship God. You couldn't do that without a sacrifice. You had to obey God. You had to bring what God said. You had to worship. When Abraham is taking Isaac up to offer him, he says, "We're going up to worship. I have a sacrifice." Today, your presentation in Christ is your sacrifice. This is my sacrifice, is that I'm approaching God with fear in my heart, with reverence toward God. My approach, your presentation is the power of acceptance before God. It's the same with anything and everything in your life that's challenged you right here now today. I prophesy to you. It's not after you. It has come for you. It has come to be a blessing to you. See, when you obey God, anything and anyone that obeys God is blessed, right? No. A demon obeys God when you tell it to do something, but it's not blessed because it doesn't have the power of choice. It's subject to your authority. Anyone comes into your life, regardless of what it is, our first response is resistance. We have to resist. If it comes towards me, I have to resist. No, we don't. We have to surrender. Jesus said, your resistance is your surrender. If the devil comes after you, which he can't even find you because you're going someplace totally different than he can because he has no choice, he has no will that he can exercise, has to do what he's told. He's subject to the will of God. Cannot do what he wants to do. Impossible. He is surrendered and subject to God. Jesus said, I've given you power and authority over all authority in the earth. It doesn't matter if it's spirit, man, woman, it doesn't make any difference. But you have to know because the approach of the situation defines what it's all about. This is how it turns out. The devil says, you are the Lord, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. They weren't blessed. Not one of them got blessed. Not one of them. Because they were made to do. Why doesn't God just make us do it? Because you'd be no different than the devil. Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You savor the things which be of men and not of God. The power behind your faith is you get to choose today. Not that it's turning out the way you want it to. Not that you're seeing what you prayed and asked God happen. But you made the choice to believe God no matter what. That's the power behind your faith that makes it mean anything. God said, I've chosen you, but you among all creation, I've given you cooperating authority. I've made you in my image and my likeness. You have to choose me back, and you're the only creation that has to do that. You have the gift of making a choice to call it whatever it is. And if you will embody that idea, that thing has to serve you. It has to become subservient to you. I've experienced it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again until I said, God will give me anything that I really want. God will give me the insides to anything. I can know anything that I need to know. Your approach has to be, it's no longer I that lives, it's Christ that lives in me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. It has to serve me. Do you hear me? It has to serve me. It has to not only surrender to me, it has to serve me. It doesn't matter how vile, how wrong, how bad. It doesn't matter if you're guilty. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were guilty of breaching the king's command. But they kept the will of the Lord. And what was that? Worship. In this trying time, what I'm going to do is worship. It is my rationality. It was my intelligence will show itself. The intelligence of my call. The intelligence of my purpose. The intelligence of the kingdom of God will make itself known. I'm not only going to beat this thing. I'm not only going to overcome this thing. It's going to serve me in the end. And it's going to be a partner all through the whole time. It's going to be subservient to the will of God that abides in you. That's called dominion. God said, I've given you dominion over all the earth, and nothing by any means will hurt you. The furnace boy said, do what you want. We know we've breached and broken your law, but the law of worship is the greatest law inside of us, and that we will not violate. Do what you will, do what you can, but be it known today that we will not serve your God. We will not be afraid of the king's command. We will not surrender to your idea. We surrender in worship to our God, my God. What is your worship? It's a simple presentation. I'm coming in the identity of Christ. When you approach the throne of God in prayer and praise and worship, it's the approach that determines whether or not you're at worship or not. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What Jesus did in Colossians on the cross is what he did is he destroyed every authority, every principality, every power, and it's referring to the mind, casting down every thought and imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Oh man, this is coming. What are we going to do? It's going to serve you. It's going to serve you. It's going to serve you in the purpose God has assigned you to. It's not only going to surrender, it's going to believe you. It has to obey you because God has given you the power of choice. You have the ability, you have the power through Christ to exercise the will of God, which has become your will. It's no longer I that lives, but the will that lives in me is the Son of the living God. God is changing this thing. Sometimes we would hang out forever in mediocre situations. We'd hang out lukewarm in situations. We'd let things hang over our heads for a long time, but God has interrupted the faith of the world today, and it's not over. Through the course of the next 6 months, you're going to see an eruption like you haven't seen in a long time. God is saying, where are the redeemed? Where are the righteous? He wanted Daniel in a position beyond where he was, so he allowed some guys to get upset so he could be thrown into a place of protection, which was the lion's den. Safest place for him. No one could get to him. No one was going to approach. Same thing with the furnace. Who's going to go in there and get those boys? No one. Can you come out? Said this 100 times. We can come out, but can you come in? The answer is no way. Where God has you, they can't come in. But you can come out. But you won't come out. Stop trying to get out of a situation until you get everything out of the situation God has for you in it. All things has to work to get. Your approach can't be doubtful. Your approach has to be certain. We were out a couple of days ago, it may have been yesterday, and my daughter was talking to Don, and she said something about she should own it. And I said, who should own what? And she said, well, there was a young lady. She was dressed in something. It was different. But if she would own wearing it, it would look great on her. But because she was unsure, the presentation said whether or not it fit. Your presentation tells whether or not you fit before God. Say it real simple. God's not messing around. He wants you to come before him in a way that you say, I'm going to tell you exactly. I'm not talking about arrogant. Certainly not talking about. I'm talking about coming humbly before God saying, I know how this turns out. I know because of your character. I know because of your kingdom that abides in me. I can tell you right now, I'm prophesying. That's what you call me to do. I'm telling you right now, this works out so, this is so beyond. It goes so far beyond. If not, it'll turn out the way you doubt. You have dominion. Adam, you can do anything. And here's what I need you to do. I need you to exercise your power of choice. Now, I've given you everything, but you have to choose something because that's what mirrors the image of you and I. Choose. Not to touch that tree. Just the one. But you have to have the power to make a choice. If we could, we'd retire. I would have retired years ago. Honest, would have retired a long time ago. If we could choose. But in retirement is death. God chooses. God chooses. I know that's called the election. I don't believe Forget what I don't believe. There are some people that just aren't going to walk the line. The Word says, many are called, few are chosen. Just some people that just won't believe. Not because they can't, not because of their background, not because of their religion, because of their power of understanding choice. Choice ignites faith. God's chosen us. Well, just a few of us. No. Jesus said, God said, it is not my will that any should perish. Another place in the scriptures, he said, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they would turn from their ways and live. God's choice cannot violate yours. Almighty God can tell any evil spirit, any demon, devil, any principality, any power what to do. It has to obey God. No choice. But you are made in the image of God. God wants to dwell in you. His home, his presentation to all of creation is his kingdom manifest in you. Not him coming at you, not him coming to you, not him in the distance, God coming through you. God says this is the only way that the kingdom of God will be seen in its glory. The kingdom of God manifests through you. So there's no way in the world you're going to get there without exercising the authority of choice, because God alone is the author and the finisher of your faith, but he's given you the dominion to make a choice by the will he's put in you. And you know what you do? What you present your will. My choice is to present my will, and I'm taking up joy in place of my anxiety. I choose to worship you instead of feeling worthless before you. I choose to believe that God with me has to make whatever this piece of clay, whatever this mess looks like, he has to shape it into something that glorifies him in you. He has to. He will present yourself that way. Own the outfit you're wearing. If you're going to wear a suit, wear the suit. If you're going to wear shorts, which I wouldn't, wear the shorts, because I know I wouldn't be confident in shorts. They would own me. I wouldn't own them. Steve owns them. When Steve puts on a pair of shorts, he owns them. You have to own it. When you come before God, you have to own it. But God, I hope. Dear God, I hope this turns out. My God. Lord, what are you doing? You're not praying like Christ is coming with you. Do you think Jesus is coming before the Father going, Father, I'm doing the best I can. This caught me off guard. I didn't see it coming. I didn't know. God said, that's the whole point. I've given you a gift when I created you. I gave you the power to do something that no spirit, on the planet or anywhere else can do what you do. You can choose to obey me. Everything else just has to obey me. It's made subject, the Word says. All things are made subject to him except you. You have to choose. I mean, the other side is damnation and hell and all that, and that's not any good, but you have the power to make the choice to believe God in the fullness of who he is. Everything has to bow to you. Don't ever say again, the devil's after me. He doesn't have the choice. You call him. It's the only way he can get there. You have to believe him into your life. There is no spirit of any kind that can enter into a human being without an invitation and without you giving them the choice to use your will. A spirit wants your will. It doesn't have one on its own. It's looking for rest. It's looking for a way to exercise its will. It can't do it. So don't tell me that it can overcome you. It can't exercise its will. It lacks the power of choice. It has to be. It is subservient to the will of the Father. That's why Jesus said, go. That's why the disciples said, they're subject to us at your name. He said, yeah, of course. I've already seen him fall from will. I've seen him fall from choice. I've already seen him fall like lightning. So don't rejoice because of that. Rejoice because you have the power to make a choice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Exercising the character of God is exercising your choice to do the will of the Father. You're being influenced by the devil when you think he can influence you. He's talking to you when you invoke his voice by believing he has the right to do so. So in short, if you're being chased by the devil, it's because you've invited him to do so. No evil will come nigh thee. 1,000 at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you. Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because I've set my affections on you. I've set my heart to love you. I've set my heart to worship you. God, I don't feel good about what took place, but I feel worship because it did. I don't feel good in my flesh because this took place, but I feel worship because it did. I can't say I feel happy because this took place, but I feel worship because it did. Because I know you are with me in all things, and you're not with me just to hang out so we can walk from one end of the earth to the other. You're with me to bring to pass your endless thoughts, the attributes of your invisible character and nature. You're doing something that will never happen in my life. Unless it's brought to pass by your will. Abraham was to inherit by promise the word of God, but he had to make a choice in order to validate the call of God on his life by faith to what God said. So he said, we're going up to worship. And when he went up to worship, God said, now I know. Did you hear that? Now I know. And God knows. Give you the power of choice. Not now I know your heart. God knew his heart, but he says, God says, now I know what you will choose. Now I know what your choice is. Today something is going on in your life. Something's going on. And you may not be aware of it, but something's going on. Every single day that you wake up in a storm. Every single day you wake up in a storm, and God is not going to make the storm go away. Do you know what the kingdom of God sounds like according to the scriptures? Isn't it a serene, peaceful sound, right? Sound like a storm. The storm is the authority of God bringing change and transition, bringing rain, bringing sun, bringing clouds, bringing wind. Everything that changes the seasons of your life. But if you're a part of the storm, you don't know the difference. Shadrach, the boys became a part of the flame, so the fire couldn't hurt them. Their hearts burned within them. Some of the disciples walking and they're saying, remember Jesus talking with them and said, didn't our hearts burn within us? Burn within us when we heard him speak. The Holy Spirit, the word is fire. When the Holy Spirit came, it was a storm. Do you get that? It was a firestorm. Wind and fire came together. And it didn't just come into the house. It got on top of them, according to the scriptures. They were on fire and they burned by the presence of the Lord. They were able to communicate that everyone heard them. There were more people than they were. There were more people than the language they could have independently spoke. Everyone heard them. When the situation that God is Lord over in your life hears the sound of your faith, it'll sing along with you. Matthew Crouch, Lori Crouch. It will sing along with you. It will sing along with you. But you can't sing along till you sing. We'll worship with you. None of it matters. None of it matters. They'll worship with you when they see you worship. Nebuchadnezzar, angry king, very, very, very angry, very angry, fiercely angry, so angry, He brought the temperature of the furnace to melting temperatures. In other words, I'll destroy this furnace to get it hot enough if you're the last thing that goes in it. Furiously, red-faced, angry. But when the boys worship, his countenance changed and everything turned around. His pride bowed before their faith because their faith was a choice they made, and the choice they made was to worship. And then he said, honor them, elevate them, and anyone that speaks against their God will be cut into pieces and destroyed. In a moment's time, God will change the countenance and the perception. And perception is the true value of reality in any world. And they'll believe with you. But you have to know what you believe. God said to Moses, I want to do things through Moses. You have to know that I'm with you. You have to know it. Now, I can't just present myself to you in the way you want me to because you're not making the choice, and we can't come into this in relationship together, so I can't manifest who I am because I have to manifest the invisible attributes that I am through your faith and your call, and you have to believe it. That's why God was angry at him when he said, I'm not fluent in speech. I don't feel confident. God said, wear it like you own it, and own it when you wear it. Own your worship. I own my worship before you, God. It is my intelligence. It is my rationality. And my mind is worship. I beseech you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, present your bodies. Present. You make the presentation. Not bringing a sacrifice. You are the sacrifice. And you're holy. And you're acceptable to God. And this is your reasoning. This is the approach. This is the power. When Jesus said, ask anything in my name, it wasn't about the asking. It was about the approach. The Father will do anything you ask in my name. But it's the in my name part you have to get. It's the approach that tells the story. It's the approach that moves the heart of the Father. You want God to believe you and answer you. Do you believe Him? Do you believe Him as much as you want Him to believe you? Are you as willing to respond to Him as you want Him to respond to you? Two-souled individual is divided in their minds. They're like two people that cannot agree with one another. That person cannot receive anything from God. A two-souled individual has instability in everything they do. This God, my God, His way is perfect. He's not far from me. He's present with me. I'm involved in everything He is about. You have to be in your choice. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? Choice. Faith doesn't work without it. Choice. Worship doesn't work without it. Choice. The word didn't say try faith, it'll work for you. It said live in it. The only way you're going to live in it, I know we don't like this word, means more than I'm going to break it down. I'm not going to break it down. I'm going to make it real simple. After you've suffered a while, what does that mean? After you've lived in it for a while, you didn't see it. Because you didn't choose to believe to get. You chose to believe to worship. Because everything we want is so substandard, so temporal in comparison to who He is in you. I know who I am in Him. I know, well, but do you know who He is in you? That's the approach. Who He is in you. Not just who you are in Him. Who He is in you. revelation of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Where is he? Show me. Revelation of Jesus Christ is the spirit of foretelling. And the Holy Spirit, he will tell you. He will go, he will seek out the deep things of the Father. That's a serious scripture right there. And he will tell you of things to come. So you can make a choice. Now, God may tell you something that seems so disconnected from what the outcome is going to be, because it's not about the thing. It's about the reason for the faith. Choice. It's a gift given to man. Choice. I choose. I choose to obey God. I choose. I choose to obey God. The devil would have been saved and in heaven a long time ago if he could have chosen differently. No mind of God. No choice to repent. You have a choice. Be glad God doesn't make you do what he wants you to do, or you'd be no different than an unclean spirit. And when you don't choose, you become as violent and wrong as an unclean spirit. But you can choose. Nothing will be impossible to you. What does that mean? You can choose anything. All things are possible to those that believe. And God says, I will not withhold anything from you. But the word of God is sure. In him is yes and amen. Has to be the same in you. You have to blame God for everything. And blame you for everything, God. And I'm going to do it like this. Whatever comes into my life is your call for me to worship. It's my call to worship. Whatever it is my call to worship. It's my call to worship. Because if I invoke the presence of the Lord manifest through my worship, there isn't anything. Who can contend with our God? Who can say no to God? God one time said to Job, hey, can you tell me how I formed anything? Can you tell me how many grains of sand? Can you tell me? If you can, then come and talk. Otherwise, listen, because you have a choice to make. Choice. Now, how much faith would you choose to have? How much favor would you choose to have? According to your choice, be it unto you. Choose this day who you will serve. Choose today and say, in this situation, God's graciously giving you something that's pulling on your faith. He's graciously giving you something, saying this situation has gone on long enough and it pales in comparison to what I have for it to do for you. Now I need you to command it. And God brings an interruption. Those drums won't play themselves. Mark has to interrupt them in order for a sound to come out of them. The sound of worship won't come out of you until you're interrupted. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. You have to be interrupted. But if you interrupt yourself, I've said it like this, if you drive yourself to your knees, you're going to spend the same amount of time there. But you made the choice. You made the choice. God doesn't work for you. He works through you. It's a joint venture. We cooperate, come together in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. There's a time. What time is that? When do you choose? What time do you choose it to be? What time do you choose? So many scriptures. I will say of the Lord, This is the day I will say of the Lord. Numerous times in the scriptures, the children of God, sons of God, believers just said, heavens, allude to the Lord, praise the Lord, heavens, I will choose today to make heaven restless on my behalf. I choose today. You can't condemn yourself because you felt afraid, because your flesh will tremble in the presence of God's greatness. But it's not to intimidate you. It's to incite a sound in you. Your faith has a sound. And each one, just as the body, each one is unique to its own instrument. The Word calls you instruments of righteousness. You're an instrument. God wants to hear you play. God wants to hear a sound come out of you. And just like different notes and different keys and different variations, God's saying, I want to hear that sound come out of you because it's in harmony and unity with me. David would make a sound on a stringed instrument. And Saul, because his mind had veered from the will of God and he had literally renounced being obedient to God, and the word of the Lord just didn't mean anything to him. He just figured he could go around it somehow. When you start thinking it's your idea and it's not, it's dangerous ground. I'd walk away from that real fast. But when you know what God has said and it seems impossible for it to turn out every way, know God's speaking right there. I'll do things you couldn't imagine. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways higher than your ways. But I'm not leaving you there. God said, I'm revealing it to you by my Spirit. This is that sound. Today there's a sound in the inside of you, whether it's physically, or financially, or spiritually, or in your church, your ministry, your business. God's wanting a sound to come out of you. And if you'll make that sound, the nations are going to surrender. Hear me. Six, 7 years from this time, and it's going to happen literally in days, as in days of a year or two. The value of our nation is going to change, not because of anything but what God has said, and His people have decided to choose to believe God. Some of the things we lived with 3 years ago, we won't live with 3 years from now. And it's not going to take that long, but I'm telling you. What is acceptable and was acceptable a year ago won't be acceptable a year from now. It's a doing of the Lord. Our world isn't going to be okay. We don't need to be rescued, guys. That's never in the scriptures, not one single time. Never, ever, 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 ever. We've been redeemed. We've been rescued by the blood of the Lamb. What we're supposed to do is see heaven and earth unite. That's our call. To see heaven and earth come together, the glory of God manifest us in such a way that the manifold wisdom of God is made known. And He's not going to speak out of heaven. When He called Moses so He could work through Moses, not so Moses could look at Him. God even said, I'm going to pass before you, but you can't see me. You can't see God. You die. But the righteousness of God can convey God through Christ through you. And then you don't have to see Him as you think. And then you'll see Him as He is. We see God in His glory. We see God in His favor. We see God in His truth. We see God in His wisdom. So what do we do in this situation? We agree to worship. Not to contend as with fist, but to contend by faith. Not to struggle in association with whatever has entered into your life because it's struggling to struggle against you. But God says, but my word is to make it an employee of yours, to make it subservient to my will in you. Just like the fire, just like the den, just like the sea, just like the river, just like the sea when Jesus walked on it and Peter, don't know how many steps he took, but have you ever walked on water? He didn't go back home going, man, I sank. What he did is, I walked on water. You believe it? Yeah, but you sank. Have you ever walked on water? How many steps have you taken? You imagine someone say, yeah, but you sank, Peter. Have you ever walked on water? Take one step and I won't say another word. One step. 1 foot. What God has done remains forever. What God has said is sure. The word of the Lord is sure, guys. Don't ask God to come down to your doubt and your fear. Ask God to elevate you. Be elevated in your mind. Be exalted in your spirit. Be lifted up. We're not going to be lifted out. We're going to be lifted in. Come into the presence of the Lord. Come into the glory of His will. This is a season unlike any other. Would you stand with me? Father, we worship You today. We glorify You, Lord. And we thank You. And we worship You. We glorify You. Matt and Lori, the Lord said this to me. I am making an exchange with you between those that are around you. So don't be afraid of what they think. Because even some of those that are against you, they're with me, and I love them, and they love me. They're not against you. I've sent them to you. I will make some exchanges, and I want you to be okay with it. The interim is uncertain, and that's okay. I want it that way. I want your certainty to rely on me in ways you have never done before. I have changed your character. I have changed your mind. I have changed your heart. I have changed your vision. I, says the Lord, am bringing transformation. I have done it, says God. So worship me that I'm with you and that you know that. And what you confirm in your heart would be the outcome will not be the outcome. My outcome is better than yours. And it will make you better, happier, stronger. I want you to live and prosper. I want to remove the weight from your hands and your mind. I want to level the field, so I'm going to do it with a storm. I'm going to blow every tree that's in the way down. I'm going to move every mountain and hill that's in the way, out of the way. And I'm going to take you through the sea as though you had a ship that could sail the highest seas. And then all the reserve that I have for you, I'll tell you exactly what to do, when to do it, how to do it, what to do it, and I want you to choose to do what I say. I'll make it restful for you, says the Lord. And the burden is falling off of your shoulders, even today. For I am the Lord, your shepherd. And you won't want for any good thing. Father, I speak blessing on Matt and Lori today. I know I come up here one more time if you would. Kaylin, please come up here. Listen. These people, would you come up here with me, please? God has placed a lot of responsibility on them. He's the Trinity Broadcasting Network and just a lot of things that God is doing through this beautiful couple. I prophesied to them a lot because God told me to. Years ago, God sent me, showed me their house. I had never seen it. I had never been to to your home. I had no idea where it was, what it looked like. God sent me, told me to go. So if you wonder, why is he always saying, calling Matt and Lori and Kate? Because God told me to do what I'm doing, and I'm going to do it. And I hope it doesn't make anybody mad. I hope it does make you mad. I hope it makes you, I hope it makes you so jealous that you start drawing. These people are anointed. This man right here has one of the most incredible prophetic anointings. I can feel when he steps in the building. God did that in him. So I'm going to ask you, they wield a lot of responsibility. A big, huge change is going on all around them and all around the world. I want you to extend your hand of faith with me. We unite together as a body and believe God to not make things great, to make things beyond the expectation of what great would be, and to give them the power to wield such authority with such ease that they can build a house, that they can set things right. They have a platform, the biggest gospel platform in the world, right here, standing on this stage. Extend your faith and your heart and your prayers with us. If you've ever prayed, God, change the world. Well, here's what God is going to do right here. This is what God is using right here to bring one of the biggest changes in the world. One of the largest influential prophetic voices, and these guys eat, drink, and sleep prophecy. This guy has, Matt has so many prophetic words on his phone. Lori, Kaylin, they're the same. They don't make a move except God says to do it. Believe that the kingdom of God will make itself known in them with me today in a way that we have never seen on any network, any business, any company, changing policies, communities, hospitals, science, every form of intelligence and technology. God would birth out of someone that we would stand and believe and give kingship and influence through someone that would believe and rely on the word of the Lord. That's how God does it. That's how God raised up David. And that's how God's doing it today. So by the word, the authority, and the power of God Almighty himself, in Jesus' name, I come boldly before the throne of grace with you. God sent me to speak into your lives. Here we are many years later, declaring God has maintained, God has kept the order of his word. Nothing can remove it. What God has said, God will bring to pass in his fullness. And the latter will be greater than the former, because God is Lord from the beginning to the middle to the continuation. And Father, we convey in the name of Jesus, by the word of your power and of your spirit, only good can happen with you, to you, and through you. The covenant power of God Almighty rests upon you, and not the weight of responsibility or burden. Your responsibility is to worship me, says the Spirit of Wonder. And to know that I have always been the cloud that covers you. And the rain that waters you. And the word in which you grow. As though you were planted in soil. And I am the sun that strengthens you and calls you up. You're being called up today by the will and the word of God, spoken before any of us had taken a breath. The Lord is with you to walk in great seasons of great joy and great expectation for the wonders of God to unfold in various and sundry different ways, sounds and shades, fragrances and colors beyond the spectrum of your known intelligence, to bring to light the truth of who Christ in you is. Don't want your struggles to be seen. I don't want the weight to be seen. I want the lightness and the joy and the peace and the worship to be seen. I'll make it right. You just believe me to do it through you. And you'll be by my side, for I am the Lord with you. as I do, it says God. Fear not, for the Lord your God is greatly with you. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. God, your Spirit, rain down right now, God, in such incredible way, the greatest sense of joy and peace and vision. And in your worship, you will be attractive to those that don't even know they're called to worship with you. It's that simple, and yet so beyond the comprehension of a natural mind. This is what the Lord does. And God, we call him blessed. Matthew Crouch, Lori Crouch, Galen Crouch. I call you blessed, chosen of the Lord. Cody Crouch. I call you blessed of the Lord. Your entire family, your seed and your seed's seed. And yet another joy to come. In Jesus' name. God, we give you praise. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord God has spoken. Be glorified. Be pleased. Your favor shine. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you. This is a season unlike any other. Go ahead and tell your uncles, your brother, your sister, and your mother. This is a time of the hour of the Lord. This is a chosen season. Fresh, groundbreaking. Aiden, God's just saying, all in, brother. All in, all in, all in. Worship the Lord with your strength. Worship the Lord with your substance. Worship the Lord with your heart. Commit in your heart. The Lord will be first in all my decisions. Within 6-7 months, if you will, commit before the Lord. Do not do it because of what is going to take place, but do it because of the call. If you'll commit over the next 6-7 months, 6-7, why 6-7? Which is it? It is both. In 6, it takes place. In 7, it makes itself very, very clear, very evident. Pour yourself into God. Pour yourself into the Word of God. Pour yourself into worship here. Pour yourself. God is commander of my faith, my desires, my direction. Then everything that you're trying to balance that feels like it's just kind of tilted, God will bring level. Just like if you're flying, God will bring your wings level so you stop. It's not a circle pattern. You can go where God's called you to go. Do what you're called to do. Heart bent, knees bent, hands raised, surrendered 100% for you, God. You make it all. You can't do it. He's going to do it through you. Only just believe. This is the greatest season of your life. There's a man with a voice that says things to you, that speaks to you sometimes. God's going to make you the voice to the man. And then what is, it's just like different parts of like pieces of business. God will bring it all and just give it to you. All those pieces and parts just give to you. It's like someone just selling, saying, hey, I'm selling, it's worth $1 million, I'll give it to you for $100. Just God bringing to you. Not for business sake, but so you can worship in a way you've never worshiped before. What God brings to you, he says, bring before me and worship me. Worship me with it, and the Lord, you will see him in it. This is that incredible season of change and time. And God, we give you praise for the hour of your word, for the interpretation of your Spirit, God. Interpret for us. Holy Spirit, interpret the times and the seasons, what this is, that we may know you better and that we may know you more, that we may walk in the value of this day. This is the greatest season of your life. You don't need anything. You're already in the, you're so deep in it, Anton. Either way you go, you're just as deep one way as the other. There is no left or right or forward or back. There's only down and up. You're going to swim and you're going to fly. But when you swim, treasures of the sea. It's like if the sea were your world and the sea must be your world for some reason. All the treasures in the sea have to come up. So going down isn't drowning or trouble. It's just treasures from, if you go up, it's everything in the heavens. All the treasures, it just doesn't matter. But you're too deep in now because you made a choice. Which way would you go? There isn't a shorter route. There isn't a short. It's just stand, believe, and see God and all that He does. This is that season. God, we praise You. Ray, the Lord has radically changed your choice, your faith, your belief. And in so doing, He's empowered you to make choices for yourself. You're about to make three choices for your family that's going to radically change everything. You've needed the courage to do it. God give you the courage today by the word of the Lord. Is not the word of God in you? I'm going to speak to you in old King James. Is not the word of the Lord in you to know right and to do right? Yes, there is disruption, but has it ceased because you have been still? Has it changed because you have walked softly? Word of the Lord is, my word is in your mouth. Today, the value of your word will come through the power of you choosing to speak on behalf of my kingdom, says the Lord. And say, I don't come in my name, my identity. I come by the word of the Lord. And I'm telling you, we must change. God has not intended for you to live in frustration and frustration around you. God has not intended you to be told what to do and made to sit in the corner and accept it. God has said to you, I have called you as the man of the house. I have called you as Lord of the providence in which you preside. Preside and not just dwell. I'll be the word of your mouth. There will be separation from what is broken to what should be whole, to what is disruptive, to what should be inclined to faith. That what is resisted to fall in worship. This is the greatest season of your life. And you are liberated and free to speak what the Lord has shown you and put in your heart. And the Lord will bring your dream to pass, says the Spirit of Wonder, in Jesus' name. Father, we worship You, God of heaven, everlasting One, Prince of perfect peace, mighty God who rules in the nations of men. The Lord everlasting, the Lord ever faithful, the Lord ever present, the Lord ever true. God always with us. We worship You. You are the first and the last and the beginning and the end all at the same time. You are the Lord who is with us and for us. To seize the time that Your glory is made manifest in ways we have not imagined, that brings us to awe of Your wonder. And in one day's time, You change the world we live in. So God, we praise You for it. God Most High, Holy One, Everlasting Father and King, we bow before You, my God, in surrender to You, Your presence, Your will, Your word, Your wisdom. Oh God, how great You are. What an honor to declare the heavens and the earth will unite by the glory of Your Spirit that reigns as Lord of lords and King of all kings, Prince of perfect peace, Emmanuel, God with us. As we worship before You, everything has to surrender. Your word in Adam was surrender and worship. As long as he remained there, the earth was not entitled to its will, but surrendered to their worship. So let it be right now in this house. To everyone who will hear, believe, and receive in accordance with your will and your word. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in us, in earth, as in heaven. In Jesus' name, we pray. Everybody shout to your God. Come on. This is the hour of the Lord. This is the season of our God and of His Christ. And Father, we worship and praise you for it. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Give me a big shout of something. We bless you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. Everlasting Lord and Savior.